1057 The Fan and the Baltimore Orioles welcome you to this presentation of the Hot Stove Show.
Play ball!
This is the Hot Stove Show on the flagship station of the Baltimore Orioles. 1057 The Fan, an hour-long look at baseball off-season transactions, player trades, deals, and the upcoming Orioles baseball season. Live from the Orioles Grill at the Sheraton Inner Harbor, here's the Hot Stove Show with your host, Jim Hunter, on 1057 The Fan.
Bob Haney in for the ailing Jim Hunter tonight. Jim is under the weather. He'll be back next Thursday. Same time, same channel. Joining us later on in the program, new Oriole outfielder Jacob Brugman, Steve Molesky, MassinSports.com. We are at the Orioles Grill on the second floor, Sheraton Inner Harbor. So if you want to come downtown, listen to some Oriole talk, stop by and say hello. Bob Haney on 105.7 The Fan. Let's get it started right away. Going to the phones, bringing in number 59 in your program, number one in your hearts, Oriole right-hander Mike Wright. Mike, welcome to the program. How's your Thursday treating you?
It's going fantastic so far. How about you, Bob?
I'm doing all right, buddy. I appreciate your time. Fan Fest was this past weekend at the Convention Center downtown Baltimore. The unofficial start of the 2018 season for you. You've been to a couple of them. What's it like getting to Fan Fest and reconnecting with the Oriole fans?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, every year promises a fresh start, and, you know, obviously new guys are coming in, old guys are coming back, and it's always exciting to see, you know, the fans, they're always excited to come out to the park and support us. And obviously we're not playing right now, but they still came out and were super excited, so it's a good time.
Now you're getting, what, about 2 weeks away, less than pitchers and catchers. For you personally, when do you start to ramp up on baseball-related activities?
I've been pretty ramped up already. I threw a bullpen earlier this week. I'm going to throw another one on Saturday, and then we're going to be headed down to Sarasota and getting into action.
Second year with Roger McDowell as the pitching coach for the Baltimore Orioles. Talk about your relationship with him last year and how it could grow for you again in 2018.
Yeah, I was very excited with the work we put in spring training. Obviously, I didn't spend a ton of time up in the big league last year because of the injury, but you know, so far it's been great. He called me early in the offseason. You know, we got a plan, you know, moving forward, and I'm really excited to work with him again this spring and this year.
Now, spring training for you, as everyone says, hope springs eternal. There's an opportunity to be part of the five-man rotation as guys have moved on via free agency. How excited are you, Mike, for the opportunity to grab one of these five rotation spots?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. I mean, I feel like it's definitely time for me to turn it around and actually lock my position in that five-man rotation. And, you know, being out of options and done both with relieving and starting, I think starting is where my future is, and I hope the Orioles feel the same way, and I'm going to come in and try to win that spot.
Mike Wright joining us here. It's Orioles Hot Stove Show live from the Orioles Grill, second floor at the Sheraton Inner Harbor. Bob Haney with you on 105.7 The Fan. Talk about your pitches and the repertoire that you now have as you have this opportunity in Sarasota. What's the pitch you're still working on? And talk about the ones that you have a pretty confident command in right now.
Well, I'll say, you know, over the last couple of years, I've really been focusing on down and away to righties. And, you know, I felt like last year I had that pitch pretty well locked in. And, you know, still pitching is an ever-evolving game. And I think one of the things I've definitely worked on this year is just making a hitter feel uncomfortable so that down-and-away spot is more effective. So that's definitely what I've been focusing on is, you know, kind of pitch selection and just keeping the hitter off balance.
Mechanically, where do you stand? How do you feel about your mechanics? I mean, working on pitch is one thing, but mechanically, are you happy with where you are?
I feel very clean right now. I don't feel like there's anything restricting me, and, you know, it's just exciting going forward when you can focus on actually pitching and not, you know, trying to move here and move this, and, you know, you're thinking about where your knee is when you're trying to land and different things. It's fun to actually think about pitching and think about competing.
Now, Mike, for you, you started your first couple of starts as a major leaguer, were outstanding. Of course, then you've had the ups and downs since then. You talked about the injury last year. What is it like trying to get that consistency at the major league level? Because on the farm, you've reached a level of success. How do you duplicate things up here in the show, as they say?
Absolutely. It's definitely a comfort thing, you know. Thinking back to it, you know, in 2016, in the beginning of the year, man, I was so confident, and I felt such in a good spot. And, you know, one of the reasons I started, you know, kind of fluctuating and really starting to, like, kind of look over my shoulder was because of those options. And, you know, it's just how the game works. It's a business. And, you know, when you have those options, it's kind of like, all right, well, when am I going to get sent down? And that's not a very good mental right. approach to the game. So with those options gone, then I'm kind of set in one place. Hopefully, you know, that confidence rides throughout the season.
And you talked about being a starting pitcher is where the opportunity lies for you. Have you talked to Buck or Roger McDowell about that potential?
You know, they definitely, you know, make suggestions and say different things. And, you know, I can look at the roster and, you know, kind of
right.
see where help is needed and different things. So I'm going to go in and try to let my pitching do the talking for me. And, you know, hopefully we come out on the same page.
Looking at the team, and the Orioles last year finished last in the American League East, and, you know, the Yankees added Stanton. Boston's always doing what the Red Sox do. And, you know, it looks like Toronto, Tampa, and Baltimore appear to be also Rans in the eyes of the experts here. As you look at the potential of the Orioles, who led the American League in wins for a five-year period heading into 2017, how close is this team, Mike, to getting back into postseason consideration?
I mean, we have some great young players. I mean, you look at the guys we picked up on the Rule 5 draft. It's amazing that they didn't get protected. And, you know, we still have our core. We have Chris Davis. We have Machado. We have Scope in the middle infield and Adam Jones, obviously our captain. We still have Buck at the top. He's still leading the ship. And, you know, as soon as Buck came over, we turned it right. So I have no reason to think we won't continue our path towards a winning season.
As you're a guy that's a teammate of Manny Machado's and all of the buzz during the winter meetings, especially about possible trades there, how does that affect you, or how closely do you pay attention to the news, knowing that not yet you're not the executive vice president of the Orioles? You're just a teammate of us.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, obviously looking at social media, because it pops up, you know, we have three infielders at key positions. They're all top at their position, top 10 players in the game. So, I mean, if that's not exciting, I don't know what is. You know, people say that we're, you know, not the Yankees, we're not going to compete. But, I mean, you look at the core of our team, and we have a fantastic opportunity. And, you know, with all of our coaches returning and, you know, Kevin and Dylan at the top of our rotation, and as long as they do what they did last year, get more comfortable and continue to be even better, I think we're seriously going to compete this year. So it's exciting.
Mike Wright joining us here, Oriole right-hander, Orioles Hot Stove Show at the Orioles Grill, second floor, Sheridan Inner Harbor, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you. Jim Hunter is under the weather today. Wellington Castillo, he's moved on to the White Sox via free agency. You've thrown, of course, to Caleb Joseph, and you know Chance Cisco from his minor league days. Talk about those two guys and what it's like tossing to them.
Yeah, Caleb, I mean, he has made unbelievable improvements over the years. I mean, he's every bit of a defensive wizard. He takes his job extremely seriously. He's the first one to talk up in advance meetings, and he knows these hitters left and right. And I'll tell you now, I think he's already studying hitters. And, you know, as a hitter, every year he's gotten better. So, I mean, it's exciting to see that. And Chance Cisco, he's one of the, you know, the top prospects in the league, and he's definitely going to be a catcher for years to come that's going to, you know, make noise in the big league. So I'm hoping this year is a big year for both of them.
We talk about the Yankees and the Red Sox and the lineup. Toronto's had some heavy hitters over the years as well. For you personally, who's some of the tougher guys you faced during your major league career?
You know, I hope he's not listening, but, I mean, Mookie Betts is one of the most intimidating hitters, because he's a small guy. You know, he's one of those contact hitters, but at the same time, he's not a contact hitter. He crushes the ball when he hits it. So when you have somebody that is a contact hitter, he's going to put the ball in play, and he hits for power, that's definitely something you have to keep your eyes open for.
Yeah, $10 million richer, I believe, Mookie Betts is today via arbitration for the Boston Red Sox. Mike, last training, how excited are you to get down there and get things really ramped up and get ready for March 29th against the Minnesota Twins here?
Yeah, so excited. I mean, it's definitely something I've looked forward to for a while now. And, you know, it's what I've been working for, you know, because obviously I can't start the season until spring's over. So I'm just looking forward to that first pitch we get to throw in spring.
Now, once the season ends, real quick, do you get that, okay, season's over, it didn't end the way that we wanted it to or I wanted it to? Is it good to decompress for a little while before you start getting back into baseball mode?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially after, like I said, an injury last year and, you know, kind of a disappointing end to the season. It's good to, you know, take some time. Actually, we planned my wedding, which was perfect timing, you know, to get my mind off of baseball. And it was good to just give the mind a break and, you know, refresh, let my arm rest. And, you know, as soon as I started training again, it's been kind of full force go. And, like, it's just super exciting going into spring this year.
Now, did you get married or you're engaged to be married?
I got married December 30th.
Congratulations on the nuptials there, Mike Wright. We appreciate
Thanks.
Your time. We'll be seeing you down in Sarasota. Best of luck to you this spring, and hopefully seeing you get a lot of people out in Baltimore in 2018.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Mike Wright, former Oriole. Orioles right-hander, joining us here on Orioles Hot Stove. It is the Orioles Grill, second floor, Sheridan Inner Harbor. And for Mike Wright, as he said, this is a golden opportunity for him to assume a spot in this Orioles starting rotation, minus Ubaldo Jimenez, who left as a free agent, minus Wade Miley, who left as a free agent, minus Chris Tillman, who left as a free agent, may return. There have been whispers to that effect. But Mike Wright is a guy with outstanding stuff. His first couple of starts as a major leaguer, remember the outing against the Angels, his debut. He was outstanding. He's had his ups and downs since then. As we talked about, he's dealt with some injury problems as well. But if there's an in-house candidate, and he's out of options, if there's an in-house candidate that has an opportunity to get things done down in Sarasota, it will be Mike Wright. We're going to talk about Miguel Castro. Mike mentioned Nelson Cortez among the Rule 5 draft picks out of the Yankees organization. But so far, no newcomers to the Orioles starting rotation. Will that happen? It remains to be seen. We know that Jake Arrieta, Yu Darvish still looking for homes, among others. Alex Cobb, Lance Lynn, Jason Vargas. Or there's still some accomplished names out there. I guess what we're waiting for, ladies and gentlemen, is for the market to set itself, and then it'll trickle down to everything. Maybe, just maybe, Dan Duquette waiting things out, and an Alex Cobb could fall to them, possibly the Orioles, for a couple-year deal. We know that the Orioles are going to be reluctant to hand out long-term contracts. And right now, as we have seen, as we're in now literally to the month of February, no big pitchers have signed yet. When will it happen and how will it affect the Orioles? It'll be interesting to see. But Mike Wright is a guy that's going to be given every opportunity to earn a spot in this Orioles starting rotation of 2018. We mentioned Chris Tillman. He's coming off a shoulder injury that plagued him at the end of 2016. Missed the start of the 2017 season. Was really unable to get his command back to where he wanted it to be and struggled for most of the year. This was one of the guys in this Orioles rotation for 5 years that you knew what you were going to get. You were getting your 200 innings. You were going to get him hitting the post every fifth day. You were going to get double-digit wins. Does he have an opportunity to return to Baltimore? We shall see. Will he be willing to come back to Baltimore? We know he was down at the minicamp a few weeks back. But Mike Wright, this is an opportunity for him to take advantage of a situation where the best man could win, and he's got the stuff to get hitters out. We have seen it before at the major league level. And as we just heard from Mike Wright, his preference is to do it out of the starting rotation. Maybe, however, in the long term, he could be best suited in a Tommy Hunter sort of role where he transitions from a starting pitcher into a power arm at the back end of the bullpen. So Mike Wright, one of the many candidates to be a starting pitcher for the Orioles in 2018, and they begin that quest in less than 2 weeks, February 13th. Pitchers and catchers, full squad workout starts on February the 19th. Joining us when we return here on the Orioles Hot Stove Show, Orioles Grill, second floor, Sheridan Inner Harbor here on 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you for the ailing Jim Hunter, one of the new outfielders brought in. Jacob Brugman, formerly of the Oakland A's, he will join us talking about being part of the Orioles and the opportunities that present themselves for him to be part of the Birds coming north from Sarasota as they get ready to start their season against the Minnesota Twins. Orioles Hot Stove Show here on 105.7 The Fan.
Now, back to the Hot Stove Show on 105.7 The Fan. It's an hour-long look at baseball and the off-season trades and deals. Once again, live from the Orioles Grill at the Sheraton Inner Harbor, here's Jim Hunter on The Fan.
Bob Haney in for the ailing Jim Hunter. He's under the weather on this Thursday night. He'll be back tomorrow at his normal time. Orioles Hot Stove Show from the Orioles Second Floor Grill here at the Sheraton Inner Harbor. Great food, good times, cold beverages, lots of Oriole fans here. If you want to get down here by 7 o'clock, you can make it happen. If not, keep it tuned to 105.7 The Fan. I want to remind everyone, 2018 Birdland ticket memberships are on sale now at Orioles.com. Save an average of 15% off single-game ticket prices, plus exclusive orange carpet benefits such as parking, the MLB's most flexible exchange policy, and access to opening day. Find the membership that is right for you at Orioles.com. We talked to Mike Wright during the first segment of the program as we creep closer and closer to spring training. Joining us now, gentleman's going to have an opportunity to earn a spot in the Oriole outfield. Let's welcome in Jacob Brugman to the program. Jacob.
Hey.
How you doing, buddy? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate your time here on this Thursday night. So, Jacob, take us through the process that led you to being a Baltimore Oriole, and I know you're still waiting to get down there and play your first game in the black and orange, but how excited are you to be part of one of the more storied organizations in the American League East?
I'm very excited, and I keep hearing that, the most storied organization.
Right.
I hear all the history and how great the city is and the stadium and the fans, so I mean, I'm just beyond excited.
Now, becoming a Baltimore Oriole gives you an opportunity as well to go down to Sarasota and get a spot in this outfield. We know Trey Mancini. We know Adam Jones. But tell Oriole fans what you're going to bring to the table for Buck Showalter.
Oh, I'm going to just play my game, help the team win. I'm all about team player, bunting guys, taking the extra base on the base pass, producing any way I can. Whether it's coming off the bench the ninth inning for a pinch hit, I feel I could do all that pretty well. So I'm just excited to help the team win.
Now, in Oakland, you got the opportunity there with the A's. Take us through, all of us people that dreamed of being a Major League Baseball player, but for whatever reason, lack of talent mainly, could not make that happen. Talk about your debut as a Major League player, and was it everything you thought it was going to be?
Oh, man, it really is everything and more. You don't know the day-to-day activities and the perks, if you will, until you're there. It's definitely a dream that every kid should have, and I had it, and I never stopped striving to achieve it. So when I did, it was a very sweet moment for me.
Tell us about your baseball history. You're from Arizona. You were drafted by the Yankees but decided to go to BYU instead. Talk about your career with the Cougars and how you wound up in Oakland. And, of course, as we've talked about here with the Orioles, just talk about the baseball odyssey of Jacob Brugman.
Yeah, I mean, I would say everything is driven by God, and I'm a very religious person, and I think that I was meant to come to BYU because that was what led me to the Oakland A's. And, they gave me that opportunity to be a Major League Baseball player. So I think everything worked out for a reason, and I'm just grateful for BYU and the school for making me the player I am today. And, I'm here today even working out there. They let me use the facilities. They let me practice with the team. So it's just beyond grateful for the Cougars and in my career.
Jacob Brugman, Oriole outfielder, joining us here on Orioles Hot Stove Show, live from the Orioles Grill, second floor of the Sheraton Inner Harbor. Bob Haney in for Jim Hunter today, 105.7 The Fan. All right, tell us about Jacob Brugman, the ball player. When did you realize and when did scouts realize that you were pretty good at this baseball thing?
I never thought of myself as the best. Growing up as like a young little leaguer, I did have the tools, and I think I grew a little earlier than most.
Right.
That sense stopped, but everyone passed me up later. But, you know, I just kept playing. For the love of the game, you know, I just kept going and going. And as I got to high school, I became more of a guy. I think once I made the varsity team as a freshman in high school, I pretty much had that, you know, that attitude and that self-awareness that, you know, I can do this and I'm pretty good. So, you know, it's just keeping that attitude from then on made me believe it.
Did you play other sports as a youngster?
Yes, I played basketball and football in high school.
Was baseball your favorite sport, or was it the sport you were best at?
It was it's a little of both. It was one of my favorites, but I was really into basketball, and I loved basketball. I still love playing it, but I was obviously better at baseball, so I had my senior year chopped the rest of the football and the basketball and just stuck to baseball.
Now, life in the minors, you know, we see the move. Bull Durham, of course, comes to mind, where it's the bus trips and in the small stadiums, everything like that. Is there any sort of romantic vibe about being a minor league baseball player, or can it be somewhat of a drag?
You know what? I believe that's 100% on your mentality, on how you go about your business, because the minor league is a drag, and if you're not careful, it will take you down. And I think that's the purpose of it. It weeds out the guys that can't mentally take it, and they end up quitting, or they just are all wrapped up in the game and they lose it. So, you know, if you have a positive attitude to the minor leagues and take it one day at a time, you know, you learn a lot about yourself as a player and a person, and you just got to keep mentally strong.
Yeah, I don't like being stuck in traffic for more than 40 minutes. I can imagine what a 13-hour bus trip is like. All right, what do you know about Buck Showalter, your conversations with him so far? Tell us about Buck and, you know, what he's going to bring to the table for you personally as a player.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I've heard maybe he's a little old-fashioned, and I like that. My high school coach, who I, you know, they did everything for me in baseball, Coach Lukatich in Arizona. You know, he's old-fashioned, and I like that style. And I met him at FanFest, and, I mean, he blew me away with how nice and sincere he was, how much he cared. I'm a new guy, right? But just little things like calling me by name and you know, giving me that confidence that, yeah, he knows me. And that's kind of what Buck did. And, you know, our conversations were awesome. He's an awesome guy. And I watched him a little bit on the Diamondbacks when I was growing up in Arizona. So,
right.
You know, I've known him for a while.
Now, for you, talk about when Jacob Brugman, you know, relaxes after the end of the baseball season. We were talking about this earlier with Mike Wright. And then when it becomes all about business yet again.
Yeah, you come to realize that it's not so much a relaxing off season, because this is the time you got to kick it in gear. You got to push your body to the limits and make sacrifices with your family and time away. And, you know, you got to do what you got to do. So off season is it's a fun time, but at the same time, you got to take it serious.
Now, for you, you're going to be coming here to Baltimore, where the crowds can be enthusiastic and loud. And I know Oakland, they can be challenged to get some attendance here. Are you a guy that feeds off the energy of the fans?
Definitely. I love it. You know, I would like to say every game we had, you know, 20,000-plus fans, I felt my best. And, you know, I just like that pressure, and I like to feed off it. And, you know, there's nothing better than a fan base that's, you know, into the game and cheering you on every step of the way.
Jacob Brugman joining us here at Orioles Hot Stove Show, live from the Orioles Grill, second floor of the Sheridan Inner Harbor, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney in for Jim Hunter on this Thursday night. You mentioned you were at FanFest. What was that experience like?
Oh, that was really fun. It was my first one, actually. It was really cool to interact with the kids and the fans. You know, there's nothing better than making a little kid smile when you just, you know, give them a fist bump or just a little autograph. So there was a great turnout, and, you know, the Orioles put on a great activity, and they had a little dinner the night before for us. So, you know, it was just a very professional and classy organization, and I really enjoyed FanFest.
Now, as we talked about earlier, Jacob, Seth Smith is gone. There's an opportunity to be the right fielder, certainly an opportunity to be a left-handed bat for this Oriole team. So what have you noticed about the roster and where you're going to fit in here?
I think it's a good opportunity. I noticed the lack of left-handed hitters, and I think it's a great spot for me to be in. I'm excited to, you know, give whatever I can, whether it's pinch hitting or everyday guy. So I'm going to do my best to win the spot no matter what and go from there.
What are your strengths as a player? You've made it clear you're a team guy, but you got the speed. Can you yank a home run if called upon? Tell us what your strength is and what needs to improve for Jacob Brugman to make the Orioles a better ball club.
I have a little bit of speed, and you know, I would consider myself gap-to-gap power with the ability to knock it out every once in a while. I don't like to try to hit home runs. I like to, you know, keep the game rolling with doubles and singles and triples. That's kind of what I like. And I like to be a leadoff guy, you know, on-base guy. I like to work the counts. I think that's one of my biggest strengths right now is being able to work the count and make the pitcher work for the out. And, you know, what I like to improve on is just maybe being a little more aggressive, stealing some bases, and, you know, just keep trying to drive the ball in the gaps, get some doubles going. I think that's a big rally starter. So that's what I like to do.
Let's see. Works the count, can steal bases. You're going to fit right in, Jacob Brugman, new Orioles outfielder. Now, pitchers and catchers, February 13th. Are you going to be an early reporter? Full squad is what, the 19th of February?
Yeah, I'll be there actually on Tuesday. I'm going down early to get the lay of the land, as they say, trying to get my bearings in the new organization and complex.
Jacob Brugman, Orioles outfielder. Jacob, we appreciate your time. Welcome to Baltimore. Good luck down there in Sarasota, and we'll be seeing you up here in March against the Twins, March 29th.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Jacob Brugman, everybody. Orioles outfielder, formerly the Oakland A's, 266, three homers, 12 runs batted in, and the Orioles could use a high on-base percentage guy at the top of the lineup. They could certainly use some speed on the base pass. As we know, the Orioles not exactly their M.O. They're not going to remind you of the 1985 St. Louis Cardinals where Willie McGee and Vince Coleman stealing bases all over the place. The Orioles have kind of lived and died by the long ball. And what do we talk about? You want to be more versatile, more creative in regards to run production. And look, nobody's denying when the Orioles are bashing five home runs a game, that's a good thing, but not every game's going to be that way. And if a Brugman can get on, he can steal second base. He can go from first to third on not necessarily a ball in the gap, but on a single, gets himself in a scoring position, and makes the opposing pitchers work a little bit. The Orioles are very aggressive early in the counts, guys like Adam Jones. To success, we look at Adam Jones in his career, he's done quite well with that aggressive nature. Chris Davis last year, maybe not aggressive enough as he fell behind in the count quite often. So it'll be interesting to see what Jacob Brugman can bring to the table. The Orioles do need a left-handed bat in the outfield, and this is an opportunity for him to come in and earn that spot because the Orioles are a team that has been power-laden, but oftentimes when they don't home run, they don't score, and that could be a very dangerous way to walk through life in the American League East. Now, you're going to have to outbash some teams, as we know. Boston and New York are going to be able to score some runs. Toronto's been a pretty powerful team over the last few years. They might be in a team in transition as well. But Jacob Brugman, he's going to get an opportunity down in Sarasota to get some things done for the Orioles, and hopefully we'll see him in March and beyond for the Birds in the upcoming year. Pitchers and catchers, February 13th. Full squad workout is on February the 19th down at Ed Smith Stadium, which is a beautiful venue. Who remembers Fort Lauderdale when the Orioles were there for spring training? Whoa! You! Ed Smith, totally different animal, and the Orioles deserve a state-of-the-art facility, and that's exactly what they got. Now, Jacob Brugman's going to be down there. Also, some non-roster invitees, some familiar names from down on the farm when we return here on the Orioles Hot Stove Show. Orioles Grill, the second floor, Sheridan Inner Harbor on 105.7 The Fan. Steve Molesky, MassiveSports.com. We're going to talk about the top 100 prospects and how many of the Orioles fit into that list. And there's varying degrees of Austin Hayes. Is he in the 20s? Is he in the 70s? I guess it's all a matter of perspective. But Austin Hayes, Cedric Mullins, among others, going to be down in Sarasota showing their wares to the people that run the Birds of Baltimore. Bob Haney in for Jim Hunter is under the weather. He'll be back next Thursday. It is Orioles Hot Stove Show here at the Orioles Grill, second floor, Sheridan Inner Harbor on 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, ball! Now, back to the Hot Stove Show on 105.7 The Fan. It's an hour-long look at baseball and the off-season trades and deals. Once again, live from the Orioles Grill at the Sheridan Inner Harbor, here's Jim Hunter on The Fan.
Bob Haney in for Jim Hunter, who will be back next Thursday. Want to enjoy Birdland's best value and family entertainment when your children 14 and under join the Junior Orioles Dugout Club. I was a junior Oriole way back when. The official kids club of the Birds. Choose between two plan options for just $25. Get a sneak peek at this year's club kit, including a backpack, hat, wall banner, and more at Orioles.com/dugout club. Bob Haney in for Jim Hunter. It is the Orioles Hot Stove Show. On the Orioles Grill of the second floor of Sheraton Inner Harbor, food is delicious. The people are excited about the upcoming 2018 Major League Baseball season. Fan Fest, we were there this past Saturday, was packed, and everyone excited about the team. We know that Jonathan Scope wasn't there. We know that Manny Machado wasn't there, and the news and the drama that came along with that. But still, the fans were very excited about the unofficial start of the 2018 season. And for the Orioles, kind of a run for redemption after last year. The sweep in Boston put them right back in the mix for the wild card heading into September. Things did not go their way down the stretch, as we are all well aware of. The Orioles had that run from 2012 through 16 where they won more games than any team in the American League, went to the playoffs three times. That is something that Oriole fans have grown accustomed to. The 14 straight losing seasons, that was extremely un-Oriole-like. We like the competitive Orioles, the team that can go toe-to-toe with the Yankees, the team that wins a season series against the Boston Red Sox. That's the Orioles that a new generation of fans have become accustomed to. And last year for them was an aberration. And can the Orioles get back into contention in this American League East, which everyone is already handing over to the Yankees and the Red Sox? Well, time will tell. But everything will begin in earnest in a couple of weeks when the team reports to spring training. Joining us now to talk about some of the non-roster invitees to Sarasota. Look at the top 100 list, and there are plenty of those in the Orioles that are on it. From MassiveSports.com, let's welcome in Steve Molesky. Steve, good evening. Thank you for your time.
Hey, good evening, Bob. Get well to Jim Hunter, and good evening to Bob. How you be?
I'm doing all right, and I'm feeling great. Thank you for asking. We have Mike Wright on earlier in the program, and he mentioned the fact, Steve, that he's out of options, and he understands that there is a golden opportunity for him to be one of those five starters coming out of Sarasota. You've watched him his whole career down on the farm and now here in Baltimore. How close is Mike Wright to becoming a guy that could consistently get major league hitters out?
I mean, that's the key. And, you know, he was starting to put some things together. I thought last year before the injury bug hit him a little bit. And so we know for Mike, it's been inconsistent and trying to, you know, we saw some of the potential when those first couple starts in the big leagues, and we've seen the numbers at AAA. So, you know, if you're the Orioles, you know it's there, but you also know you're running out of time to see it. And being out of options might be a tiebreaker for Mike, but it's not going to earn him a spot. He's going to have to do that.
Now, Steve, the non-roster invitees to spring training, some names that people who follow the Orioles minor league are very familiar with. For instance, Ryan Mountcastle. Here's a guy that you've also seen since he became an Oriole farmhand guy. He can hit. We know that. He's proven it anyway in his brief minor league career. Talk about his evolution as a hitter and what needs to happen for him to be a stayer at the major league level. Maybe not this year, but in the future.
Well, he's been trending up, man, since he got to the club, and the bat looks really good, Bob. I mean, last year they started him in the Carolina League, and he wound up playing 88 games in that league, which plays 140, and he led that league in extra base hits. So he played about 66% of the games, and he led the league in extra base hits for others who played much more than him, and that shows you how special that bat was in the Carolina League. And then he went to Bowie late in the year, and he switched positions, shortstop to third, and then had to tangle with Eastern League pitching at such a young age. I mean, this kid's just 20, and he did well. It was trending up at the end there. So we know it's all going to be about the defense and the arm. Will it play at third base? He did okay over there, according to the scouts I talked to. And so now the Orioles want to see if he can take another step forward there, because, Bob, the question was asked at FanFest by fans to Danji Ket and Brian Graham, is this possibly Manny Machado's eventual replacement if he leaves the team? Is this his successor on the left side of the diamond? And the answer could be yes, if, a big if there, if Brian can, you know, continue to make some upgrades with the arm.
And the arm, and, you know, this is a guy that I guess is positioned by trade with shortstop, trying to transition over to third base. As we talk about the non-roster invitees, you look at the list, Steve Molesky, who are some of the candidates realistically that could have a chance to replace Ryan Flaherty, who is now a free agent out there looking for work?
You know, the player they acquired recently, and you're going to have to help me with the pronunciation and the name. You know, of course, they have Ruben Tejada. I thought it was interesting that Garbez Rosa got a spring training invite. That was pretty great for him. The guy's this 11th year in the Orioles organization. He's played 1,100 games, Bob, and it's the first spring invite. So they've got some candidates there, you know, for that spot.
Eric Salcido, Luis Sardinas, and Ruben Tejada is another guy that could get an opportunity.
Yeah, Salcido, Sardinas certainly is in the mix. Eric Salcido is a very good defender at shortstop the last couple of years for the Bay Sox, and so that's a position where you need a glove, and he's certainly a very solid defender.
Steve Molesky, MassetSports.com, joining the Orioles Hot Stove Show. Bob Haney in for Jim Hunter. Jim will be back next Thursday. We're at the Orioles Grill on the second floor of the Sheraton Inner Harbor here on 105.7 The Fan. Cedric Mullins gets an invite. And, Steve, as you know, he was tearing it up in spring training last year, started well on the farm in Bowie, then had some hamstring issues that slowed down his season. Tell everyone about Cedric Mullins and the ceiling for him.
He really made a nice impression last spring. You know, he kind of took it by storm. He wasn't on the roster, but each time he would get called over, it seemed like he caught Buck's eye, and he hits an opposite field home run off Craig Kimbrell of the Red Sox. That certainly caught everyone's eye because Cedric's, you know, 5'8", 5'9". He's not this big, strong power guy. He's a 13th-round draft pick, so he's probably overlooked going back to the draft, but he's a solid defender in center. He's got some speed. He's a switch hitter. And they skipped him a level, and he went to Bowie, and he held his own. I mean, you look at his stats from 2 years ago at Delmarva, they're very similar to last year at Bowie. So they were good numbers then. They were good numbers last year. He just didn't get a ton of at-bats because of some the hamstring. And so he gets a spring training invite, and he's definitely someone to watch at a position of depth in the outfield that the Orioles have done well with. And over the last few years, Hayes and Mullins and DJ Stewart and Gassaway, and we could list three or four others, have made that a pretty deep position on the farm.
Steve, you mentioned DJ Stewart, former first-round draft pick out of Florida State, had his best year in the Orioles system last year. What was different for him? Why did we see the guy that the Orioles envisioned when they drafted him a couple years back?
I think, and then he told me this late in the year at Bowie, Bob, that it was really about a 2-year process to get completely comfortable with what was a major stance change that he made. I mean, fans know when he was signed out of the draft, there were scouts who had concerns about his low batting crouch, and the Orioles signed him and they said, hey, we like what we saw. We're going to let you hit out of the crouch. Let's see how it goes. Well, over time they realized he's got to make some adjustments. So it really took him, and this, in his own words, most of 2 years to feel comfortable, to settle in. He tweaked the stance a little bit. He tinkered with it. And then, you know, his stats got better as he got promoted up, which you don't see all the time. But, I mean, he put up a real special season at Bowie, 20-plus homers, 20-plus steals. That had never been done in the history of the Bay Sox, which goes back over 20 years. And so he kind of got overshadowed by Mullins and Hayes a little bit, but he just kept putting up solid numbers. And then you end the year and you look up and you say, wow, D.J. Stewart really had a solid year. And we know, Bob, in an organization that doesn't have a lot of high on-base percentage guys, he is one. He's worked the count. He knows the strike zone. So all that works in his favor, left-handed hitter and a left fielder.
Steve, you mentioned Austin Hayes, and we saw him in Baltimore at the end of 2017. We were talking about Mike Wright, that he knows an opportunity is there for him to make a spot in the rotation. Is Austin Hayes a guy that is a front runner to be the right fielder, or is that something that he's going to have to earn and the Orioles are still looking at other options?
They're going to have to earn it. We know Buck won't hand it to him. We also know that if they do carry Santander for 44 games to satisfy the Rule 5 requirements, that that takes up a roster spot. And you just interviewed Jacob Brugman, who might have a shot, left-handed bat. And then, you know, so if you look at those things, if they really need a left-handed hitter in there, that's not Hayes right now. He's a right-handed hitter. And the combination of needing the lefty hitter and maybe wanting to carry Santander 44 more days since they've come this far with him, that, to me, Bob, seems to work against Hayes making it an opening day. But if he doesn't, that's okay, too, because he's still got a few things to learn. This kid's never played at AAA. He's played, you know, about a half year at AA. So he looks great. He's the highest-ranked outfielder they've got currently. He's one of the highest-ranked they've ever had in those ranking lists. And so his day is coming, whether it's opening day or May or June, July. You know, he got a really good indoctrination, I thought, to the majors late last year.
Steve Molesky, MassinSports.com. Steve, we appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday night, my friend.
You got it, Bob. Have fun down there. It's a great crowd, as I know, always, and enjoy being with you tonight.
We're getting ready to get the party started here, Steve Molesky. Too bad you're going to miss it. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you.
Steve Molesky.
Orioles Grill, second floor, Sheridan in our harbor. It is the Orioles Hot Stove Show. Orioles single game tickets for the upcoming season are now on sale. Don't miss your chance to lock in the best seats to the top games of 2018, including fun promotional events such as Kids Opening Day, Dylan Bundy and Trey Mancini bobbleheads, and backed by popular demand, the Orioles Maryland flag script replica jersey and a Birdland Hawaiian shirt. Plan your Birdland summer at Orioles.com/tickets. Bob Haney, it is Orioles Hot Stove Show live from the Orioles Grill, second floor, Sheridan Inner Harbor. We'll be back with more here on 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, ball!
Now, back to the Hot Stove Show on 105.7 The Fan. It's an hour-long look at baseball and the off-season trades and deals. Once again, live from the Orioles Grill at the Sheridan Inner Harbor, here's Jim Hunter on The Fan.
I'll be Jim Hunter for you, at least for one night. Bob Haney in for Jim Hunter under the weather. He'll be back next Thursday at his Orioles Hot Stove Show here at the Orioles Grill, second floor, Sheridan Inner Harbor. Want to thank Mike Wright for joining us. Want to thank Jacob Brugman for coming on as well. And, of course, Steve Molesky for giving us some insight into the Baby Birds who would be down in Sarasota as non-roster invitees as the Orioles trying to field a team and get ready to compete in the American League East. But for you, fans, don't forget you're invited to enjoy free bowling and free arcade play at the grand opening of Bolero Timonium on Saturday, February 17th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Join the Oriole Bird, who can bowl 150 apparently, which is good with feathers, Oriole alumni and Jim Hunter for autographs, great Oriole giveaways, and the best bowling on Bolero's signature lanes. It's all happening at the grand opening of Bolero Timonium Saturday, February 17th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. We'll see you there. Speaking of Mookie Betts, you know he's bowled 300 on more than one occasion. So he's a multi-talented guy and $10 million richer as well. As we get closer and closer to the start of spring training, pitchers and catchers on the 13th, full squad on the 19th, 105.7 The Fan will again be broadcasting spring training excitement for you starting on Friday, February 23rd against the Tampa Bay Rays. That is a 105 first pitch. We will get you ready for all of the Oriole action throughout the spring. Saturday, the 24th, is the Twins. The 28th, the Cardinals. A lot of Saturday and Sunday excitement for you on the Fan, as well as some weekday activity. 30-minute pregame and postgame shows will start for you on the Fan in late March with the Tuesday 22nd game against the Boston Red Sox. So we, 105.7 The Fan, will have you covered with spring training baseball throughout the fun portion of it. People are earning jobs. People are going to prove to Buck Showalter they belong at Camden Yards once they come north to take on the Minnesota Twins. Also, 105.7 The Fan, the Big Bad Morning Show is heading down to Sarasota as well, broadcasting live as they get you ready. It's a welcome back baseball theme. I think we're going to do it. As Ed Norris, Rob Long, and Jerry Coleman will be there celebrating the start of the 2018 season. And it's always a fun time for us on the Fan as we talk Oriole baseball. Hope springs eternal. Right now, people looking at the Orioles as a team that could be an also-ran in the American League East, because we've already given the Yankees and the Red Sox the American League pennant, because on paper they might be the teams to beat. But I'm breaking out the oldest cliche in the book, ladies and gentlemen. They don't play the games on paper. They play them on the diamond, and hopefully the Orioles can regain the status that they had from 2012 to 2016. Ken Wyman is coming up next, ladies and gentlemen, as Sports Talk takes you through till 10 o'clock as he talks about the Terps, the Orioles, the Ravens. Oh, by the way, the Super Bowl's coming up this Sunday. The Eagles taking on the New England Patriots. Want to thank everyone for listening to the program. Jim Hunter will be back next week. Thank all of our guests, and I'll see you around the bend, ladies and gentlemen. Ken Wyman's coming up next here on 105.7 The Fan.